How many of y'all were here last week and saw Nick Vujicic? Amen. Hopefully you were encouraged by him, whatever you're going through. And when you see a guy with no arms and no legs, you realize that your life is pretty good. And not only that God can use anybody to do amazing things. Did anybody watch our service on TV last? Just raise your hand if you did. Okay, raise your hand if you didn't. Okay, the reason that I'm kind of glad that is true is because we had a lot of people watch it, and I was hoping it wasn't just our church, so I'm very glad it didn't. Now that you know, all you people who didn't raise your hand, if you can DVR it, you don't have to watch 11 o'clock at night. It's a 30-minute program. If you can DVR it and show it to somebody. It is not really what you're seeing here. I mean, a lot of it is what you see here, but there's other pieces on it, included on it that are on this program that you haven't seen. But mostly to show it to a friend, because we want to get the gospel out to your friends. So I don't expect you to come here and watch it all the time. But if you can show it to somebody, that would be fantastic, because that's what we're putting on air for. We had right around 14,000 people watch, and I was hoping it wasn't all of our people, that it was people out there, which is a good sign. So that's what we want. Amen? Amen. So one more. Now, you can give the Lord a hand on that one. Amen? Amen? Very good. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to... Everyone say lesson plan. Very good. Let's see him. Let's raise him up here and wave him like he just don't care. There you go. Okay, very good. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Wilbur. Psalm 139. And if you don't know where Psalms is, it's Psalm 139. It's almost the exact middle of the Bible. I think the middle of the Bible is Psalm 117 or 118. So there you go. Psalm 119, Psalm 139. 139. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you know us. Thank you that you created and designed us marvelously. That we are your prized possession out of all your creation. You made us in your image like nothing else. And we thank you for the opportunity to know you and have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years after my wife and I bought the house we are currently in, she said she wanted to paint the walls. And I said, they're already painted. She said, well, I want to paint them a color. I said, well, painted white. That's a color. White is a color. So why do you want to paint them again? Fellas, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, am I not the only one, right? They're already painted. She says, well, I want to, you know, put this one the green to match the couch, and this one red to match this, and, you know, I want to do a little white border about the little Wayne's coating thing. I'll put that up, too. And I'm like, what's that? You know, Wayne, what's Wayne? And then you go, put that up, and all this stuff. And I was like, why? Well, you know, I end up giving in because, you know, your wife is the head of the household, right? Actually, the man is the head of the household, but your wife is the neck, and she can turn you any way she wants you to go. So, we painted the house. You never heard that one, huh? Well, you're the neck. Yeah, okay. But don't go crazy with it, okay? So we painted the house, and it looks all beautiful, got all the colors, you know, it works. We all have a need and a desire and an interest to be creative to some level. To design things to some level, even if it's just the way we dress. As we continue our series called Who is God? Everyone say, Who is God? Today we're going to talk about God the designer. Now, if I look behind me, you see a living room, a simulated living room. And last time we talked about God being an uncaused cause. As a matter of fact, I asked you a question and how many of you believe that there was a living room behind me? As a matter of fact, let's start it again. How many of you believe there's a living room behind me? Okay, very good. It's not a trick question. How many of you believe there's actually a simulated living room behind me? Just raise your hand. Very good. And we asked the question last time, how many of you believe that someone put the living room here? Just raise your hand if you will. Okay. Does anybody, by the way, does anybody here believe that the living room came here by itself? That nothing put it here? I didn't think so. So there were two pieces of furniture we pointed out last week. One is the cross on the wall. And the cross on the wall represents God, because we're going to prove to you and propose to you that this living room is going to help us understand that there is a God, that there's enough proof in the world to prove there's a God, and it's also going to tell us what kind of God he is and how to have a relationship with him, just through this living room. We also looked at this nothing jar. This is a jar, I call it the nothing jar. It looks like a vase, but the nothing jar. And the nothing jar has nothing in it. You see that? N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing. And that represents the people who don't believe there's a God. There's some people who don't believe there's a God. People watching online, people watching on television. You don't believe there's a God. Okay? And so you believe that nothing created everything or nothing caused it. So I think by unanimous vote, we all believe that something caused the living room. Can I get amen? Okay, is anybody in here, just for clarification, does anybody in here believe that nothing, the contents of this jar, nothing, caused this living room to be here? Is anybody? Yeah, just want to raise your hand. Last week there was one guy. Okay, then I think he changed his mind by the end, but that's okay. So the question today is about design. Everyone say design. If someone caused the living room to be here, is it possible that nothing designed the living room? In other words, how many of you believe that the living room has design to it? There's some order. No, some of y'all, that ain't designed. In other words, it has color, it has a picture, the furniture is arranged a certain way, and the TV's there so we could see it. And matter of fact, if your own house, you put your TV in a very strategic location. Your chair, fellas, our chair is right in front of the TV. A remote tied to the chair. Okay, can I get an amen? Amen. So some design. So how many of you believe that this living room was designed by someone? Very good. Does anybody in here believe that the living room was designed by nothing? All by itself. Not only did it put itself there, but it arranged itself by itself. It gave itself its own color coordination. The couch put the cushions under where your legs go on by itself. The table had the four legs to hold it up. They did it by itself. This clock right here, you see the clock? It has design, it has little gears inside. Those gears just happen to be there by themselves. And they turn to keep time by itself. Does anybody believe that? We all believe that somebody had to design it. Now, the first cause for all these things, the designer, is man. Man did it. Okay, man designed that. Man designed your shirt. Your shirt had to be designed. Your shoes had to be designed. Your suit jacket, your car, your house, this building, the sound system, the light system, the video system. Man is the one who organized and arranged all that. The question today is, who designed the things that man didn't design? Because a lot of stuff we didn't design. We didn't design the heavens. We didn't design animals. We didn't design the ocean. We didn't design our own bodies. So if the living room was caused by someone, never nothing, if the living room was designed by someone, never nothing, well then someone had to cause you, someone had to design you because you are designed. So let's look at our notes, a couple of facts we're going to look at our notes. In our notes, the first fact there says limited objects cannot design themselves but require a designer. It says right there at the top, a limited object is an object that has to be caused by something and it has to be designed by something. You and I are a limited object. This building is a limited object. Everything you own is a limited object. Someone had to cause it and someone had to design it. So the number one thing we're going to learn about our design, and number one in your notes, is that our design requires an intelligent designer. You and I, whoever designed you, had to have intelligence. It's the fact that you are designed, and whoever designed you had to have intelligence. Look what it says in verse 13, because I want to propose to you that God is your designer. God is your designer. Look what it says in verse 13. It says, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Everyone look up here. Everyone, and just imagine you go to Harvard and you're like, you know, from a very wealthy family, five generations at Harvard. Say Harvard. Harvard. Okay. You are marvelously made. Marvelous. Say, I am marvelous. Let me see your hands. Say, I am marvelous. Very good. You're marvelous. So the Bible says, marvelous are your works, God, that you, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. You knew me before I was even formed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none. How precious are your thoughts towards me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number that stand of the sea. And when I awake, I am still with you. If you go to the beach and you try to count the sand, which you cannot, God has more thoughts towards you that are good than the sand. You couldn't even think that many good things about you. So you are marvelous. God is intelligent beyond our capacity to understand. Let's start with the brain. The brain nervous system. Your nervous system, you have a central nervous system which starts at your brain and goes down your spine right down the middle of your body. The brain is encased in a skull to protect it. It is a very delicate instrument, very delicate computer. Your brain is a 3-pound computer, the most advanced computer in the world. If you took all the nerve endings and nervous system neurons, it would be more longer than all the computers and all the wiring and all the computers in the world. All the connections in your nervous system, they call synapse, it's a connection between two nerve endings, are more than all the stars in 1,500 Milky Way galaxies. That's how many connections you have in your nervous system. So you have your brain, it goes, and then your spinal cord goes down the middle of your body. That's your central nervous system. Then from there, you have your peripheral nervous system that goes all the way out to your body. Every part of your body. You can touch anywhere in your body, and the message goes all the way up to your brain and comes right back down the instant you feel it. And so you have your central nervous system, and then you have your peripheral nervous system, and then you have two types of information. You have information that comes from without and goes to your brain. It's called afferent information, or senses. And then you have information that comes from your brain out, which is called efferent, like exit. So if something happens, you hear a sound, the sound goes out from outward to your ear and goes into your brain. And then your brain says, now I'm going to send a message back out to tell you what to do according to that sound. Someone touches you on your leg, you feel heat, you feel cold. That's afferent information. It comes in your body, it goes all the way up to your brain, and then your brain sends efferent response back and tells you what to do because of it. Okay? And you also have different nerve endings that go up. They are called the ascending tract. All they do is take information up. This is all wiring in your body, like fiber optics. You have fiber optics that only take information up, and then you have a whole set of fiber optics that only take information down. You ever, matter of fact, what I forgot to get before was this, my little celery. Y'all have celery? Y'all know what celery looks like? See the little stringy things at the bottom? Can we get the camera to zoom in on that? See those little stringy things right there? That's weak, but you know how you get them in your teeth? Yeah. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. These are called xylem. Xylem are implants, and they're like little straws, and they take water from the ground up to the leaves and to the fruit, vegetables, or whatever it is you're eating. They're little straws in the plant. And so I want you to imagine you have xylem on these little straws that go up, but they're taking electrical impulse. And some of these, what we call nerves, nervous system that goes up, ascending tract, information comes in, and it goes up, and these certain fiber optics only take information up, and then there's a separate tract that takes it down. Okay, so here you have your central nervous system, you have your central nervous system, your peripheral, you have information that goes up and information that goes out to all your parts of your body. Then you have your autonomic nervous system, your autonomic responses where your brain is telling your body to do stuff without asking your permission. You don't even know what's going on. I mean, some of it you know. For example, you breathing. You don't tell yourself to breathe. You just breathe. You have to tell yourself to stop breathing. And because God knows that we're thick, he doesn't let us not breathe as long as we really want to. Whenever you hold your breath, he makes you breathe at some point. Go to the bathroom, your brain tells you to go to the bathroom. The brain makes you blink because if you wanted to blink on your own and stop blinking, your eyes would dry out. So there's an autonomic response of your brain telling you stuff, regulating CO2 in your blood, regulating blood pressure, regulating sugar levels. All that stuff is going on in your brain all the time without you even knowing it. So that's your autonomic response. Then you have your somatic response, which is your willingness to voluntarily do something. I could just do like that with my hand. Okay? automatically. And while I'm doing this, my brain is saying there's other things we need to do to make sure he can't do that all day, so we're going to make these other decisions for him because he doesn't know what he's doing right now. So here's what happens. When you get scared and someone scares you, guess what happens? Your brain, your autonomic response, as that afferent information comes without you realizing it, your body goes, you're scared. So your body says, your brain tells you, before you can think about it, your brain tells your adrenal gland, which is on top of your kidney, release adrenaline. And the adrenaline goes throughout your body and makes your heart beat fast. It makes you breathe fast because you're getting ready to jump. It sends sugar into your blood, so you can have energy. It sends supernatural power to your muscles just in case you got to pick up a car to save somebody. You ever hear about that happening? It goes, ah! And all that happens, and you get scared, you go, ah! And after you go, huh, and after all that happened, in a split second, before you can even think about it, then you have a somatic response, which means, I'm scared. I'm being chased by a bear. And you make a decision, I think I need to run. Then you make a conscious decision to run, and as you're running, now your body's working. All these decisions are being made. Your body's saying, you need more blood. Pump the heart faster. He needs more oxygen. Breathe harder. Your proprioceptors in all your muscles are telling your body where is it in space, so you don't have to look at the ground and know when to put your foot down and how to balance your body. All this stuff is going on. Then as you heat up, your brain tells your body, he's getting hot. Make him sweat so he can get cool. So you start sweating. And the more you sweat, the more water you lose. He's getting dehydrated. Make his mouth dry. Oh, by the way, this dude is fat and out of shape. Make him stop running because he's going to die. So you're chugging along like this. And because you think you're going to die because the bear is chasing you, your brain starts to say, you're going to die. And you start crying out for your mother because it starts showing you all these images of when you were a little kid and all these images coming back. And you're running for your life. Run. And then you get a cramp because you don't run. And your body says, he ain't going to stop, so stop him. And because he can't lean back because the stomach muscles are weak, make him put his hands back to catch himself. Now you're on the ground, and then your parasympathetic nervous part of your nervous system calms you down. It says, okay, let him breathe. Calm him down. Calm him down. He got to keep sweating, though, because he's hot. He's overheated. And the heart's saying, no, we need to keep beating because we got to get blood to this brother. He's going to die. And all of a sudden, you're dehydrated because you sweat. So your homeostatic receptors are telling your brain he's dehydrated. So your homeostatic receptors tell your brain to dehydrate it, and your brain says, okay, we got to get him to water. Okay, so get him up. Walk, get him up. Turn his head to the right. There's water. You start walking up to water, and then you start drinking. And because you're real greedy, you drink 5 gallons of water. Then your stretch receptors on your bladder tell you you're full. You got to go to the bathroom. All this is happening without asking your permission. And you're going, oh, you're running around trying to, and your brain's making all these decisions. You don't even know what's going to happen. You don't know you're going to die. And your brain's going, he's going to die. We got to help balance this brother's equilibrium because he doesn't know what he's doing. And all this stuff is happening. And here's my question to you. Where did that all come from? How is it that you can touch your hand and the second you see it touch, you feel it? How is that? You know what happens? An electrical impulse goes from that point all the way up to your brain and back that quick. And you have certain receptors for light touch, and you have other receptors for hard touch. You have some for pain, some for heat, some for pressure. Where did all that come from? You are marvelously, everyone say marvelous. You are marvelously designed by someone who's masterful intelligence. Now, we know nothing could do that. It's impossible. Nothing, it's scientifically proven that nothing can produce anything. So when you say, well, there's no God, well, somebody did it. Certainly you didn't do it. I didn't do it. Some had to do it because we are. Think about it. Look at your iPhone or whatever smartphone you got. All those functions. You know someone did that. And you and I are more complicated than that. Let me read a definition of intelligent design. Intelligent design says it is the evidence in created things or things that were caused by something else that they are designed to perform a function they did not have the intelligence to have designed themselves. Your shirt, very simple, has buttons, a zipper, or a hole at least the top if it's a sweater to get your head through and your arms through. It was obviously designed to be on your body. your shoes, your clothes, your belt, your glasses, simple things. Now, what about you? You have an intelligent designer that is infinitely intelligent to have created you. Number two in your notes. Number two. Your design requires a spiritual designer. A spiritual. Turn to John, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 4. John 4. I've had thousands of discussions with people about God. And usually they say one or two things. Usually. I would say 98% is one of these two things. 2% say they don't believe in God at all. But even those people will say, well, either people say, I believe in God or a God. Or they'll say, well, you know, I'm not into formalized religion, but I'm spiritual. Everyone say spiritual. And you know what I tell them? You are exactly right. You are spiritual. God made you spiritual. God created every single one of us to be the temple of His Holy Spirit. God wants the Holy Spirit to come live in us. Jesus said He's going to send the Holy Spirit to teach us truth. The Holy Spirit is going to convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit is going to give us supernatural gifts, spiritual gifts to exercise in the kingdom of God. Here on earth, by the way, when I say spiritual gifts, I mean now. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And look what it says in verse 24. Verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. When we worship God, and by the way, singing is one form of worship. It is a spiritual exercise. You are acknowledging on a spiritual level that there is a God, and you are acknowledging that He is worthy of your praise. When you serve God, that is an act of worship. It's a response of respect to God. When you give money, it's a response of respect. When you use your gifts and do ministry, it's a response of respect that God created you for His purpose. Spirit. God is spirit. As a matter of fact, we all have an innate, God-given desire to have relationship with invisible people or spirits. Now, when I say people or a person is not necessarily a human. There's a difference between a person and a human. A human is what we are because our personhood, our spirit, is covered in a body like this. The Holy Spirit's a person. Person is a personality, an individual personality that is created, that can think, that can love, that can encourage. There's three persons in the Godhead, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. They are persons. In other words, they have personality. They are individuals. They can create. They can love. Matter of fact, they are the standard. The Bible says we were made in God's image. We were made in God's image. If you think of a glove, you make a glove in the image of a hand so the hand can fit in the glove. God said, I made you in my image so my spirit can fit in you. You are spiritual. Of course you are spiritual. By the way, you are, and we'll get to this in a minute, but you are a spiritual being because God wants to have a spiritual relationship with you. God is spirit. You were made in the image of God. So let's ask a question. Is it possible, and the answer we all know, that nothing could have created you spiritual? No. Nothing can do nothing. And you didn't create yourself spiritual. Somebody designed you spiritual, a spiritual God, and He designed you spiritual in His image. Now, before we go to the third point, let me say this. There are good spirits and bad spirits. How do you know bad spirits? Anything that disagrees with the good spirit, which is God. God is the Holy Spirit. Anything that disagrees with God, anything that denies Jesus Christ as Lord, the Bible says, is the Antichrist spirit. You don't want to just be spiritual to be spiritual, because if you call on the wrong spirit will answer you. And there's people call on the devil, call on demons or whatever. You don't want to do that because they are real. And they will jack you up. By the way, the devil's never going to show up and say, I'm the devil and I want to ruin your life. What he's going to say is, hey, girl, what's your name? I've got something for you. And he's going to lure you. And I'm not only talking guys to girls. I'm only talking that demons talk to women to guys as well. He's going to lure you and promise you all the stuff he cannot give you. and then he's going to trap you and destroy your life. And how do you know that the evil spirit's been talking to you? Well, one, are you being led to live contrary to this word of God right here? Because the Spirit of God would never contradict the Bible, because the Spirit of God is the Bible, wrote the Bible. And how do you also know when the evil spirits are guiding you? When you start doing what they say and you find stuff is dying in your life. Opportunities are dying. Hope, vision is dying. Your health is dying. Your optimism about living is dying. The devil and his demons kill. Sin kills. God gives life. His spirit gives life. So number one, our design requires an intelligent designer. Our design requires a spiritual designer because you and I are spiritual in the temple of the Holy Spirit, like a hand in a glove. And number three, our design requires an eternal designer. Eternal. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. If I ever do a funeral, I always ask, did the person who died believe in God? Does the family believe in God? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I can tell you what's 100% true, pretty much 100% true, is that they believe they're in a better place right now. We're going to see him again. I was like, why do you say that? Where do you get that information? You don't believe in God. Why do you believe that there is eternal life? And why do you believe that person is in a good place? Because God made us that way. God made you and I originally, Adam and Eve, was to live forever. They sinned and now we die because of sin. But we still were intended to have an eternal relationship with God. God made you a spiritual being to have an eternal spiritual relationship with God. When your body dies, your person will not. Who you are will never cease to exist. You will either exist with God in heaven or away from God in hell. And by the way, hell was created not for people, for Satan. If you think of the originator of murder, lies, rapes, molestation, all the evil things we see, the devil created that and hell was created for him. People who go there are the people who reject the life God wants to give them, the eternal life God wants to give them. He says, I don't want God's eternal life. Okay, well then you have to have that because you have to go someplace and there's only two places to go. You're either in heaven or hell. There's no in between. And by the way, there is never in between. When you die, you're in one of those two places. You're either with the Lord or you're not. And so you and I are spiritual and we are eternal. The good news is that even though we are sinners and even though our sin deserves death, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to come and die and pay the price with my life that your sin deserves. Your sin deserves death. So Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to die and pay the price for your sin, but then I'm going to rise from the dead and overcome sin and overcome death. And if you surrender your life to me, give your life to me, I will give you an eternal Holy Spirit, a spirit as a deposit that when your body dies, you will spend eternity in heaven. God wants to have an eternal spiritual relationship with you, and he made provision to have that relationship with you through his son Jesus. What you and I need to do is say, Lord, I want to have that relationship. And I want to start it now. I realize I can't produce that relationship on my own. I realize that you are the creator of the relationship and you are the creator of the means for me to have that relationship. You sent your son Christ to die for my sin and rise from the dead. I want to give my life to Jesus and I want to receive eternal life today. And by the way, when you receive eternal life today, guess what also you receive? A relationship with Christ through which you can have abundant life. What does that mean? Is that when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you like a hand in glove, all of a sudden now you got the power of God in your life. The wisdom of God, the vision of God for you. God shows you why he made you. God gives you purpose. He gives you vision. He gives you encouragement. If you're oppressed, he can deliver you to be encouraged. If you have no vision, he can give you vision. If you have no purpose, he can give you purpose. He shows you the spiritual gifts he's given you. He shows you the type of people he wants to use you to encourage through that relationship. And when you look in the mirror, and before where you say, I am marvelous because I'm so beautiful, you realize you're marvelous just because God made you. You can wake up in the morning, your breath is kicking like Jackie Chan. Your hair is all messed up. You're just nasty. And God says, I love you. It has nothing to do with what you look like. It has nothing to do with how you smell. It has nothing to do with what you did. I love you because. When the Holy Spirit comes inside your heart, and all of a sudden God gives you a clear vision for who you are and why you are, your life's purpose takes a whole different turn. None of you were created to do the job you do. You were created to worship God. Now, you can do it in the job you do, but that's not why you... I was not created to necessarily preach to you. I was created to worship God. Preaching is a way of doing that, but it's worshiping God. And I worship God all kinds of different ways, and I glorify God all kinds of different ways. And so in a minute, we're going to pray, and here's the opportunity you have today, is to acknowledge, one, that you are spiritual, that you were created and designed spiritual. Number two is acknowledge that you are eternal. You are going to, after you live on this earth, you are going to exist somewhere forever. And then say, Jesus Christ, I believe all that, and I believe you died for me. I want to give my life to you. And I want to have a spiritual relationship with a living God that designed the universe, that designed everything there is, a living God that designed me in his image to have a relationship with him. And I'm not going to make this thing up of my own concept of what God is. I believe this God is very specific. And if someone can design a car with specificity, if someone can design a phone with specificity, if someone can design a house with specificity, this God designed me with specificity. And I want to have a relationship with that God, and I want that God to talk to me, and I want that God to encourage me, and I want to talk to him, and I want to be led by him. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us. And we thank you that you have an incredible plan for our life. And we thank you, God, that you created us in such a way that we would yearn to know you and that we would have the ability to know you. If you're listening online, if you're watching on television, if you're listening at a North County site, you realize that you are a spiritual being and that you are an eternal being. And you would like to establish an eternal relationship with the God of the universe. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you do, what you know, what you've accomplished or how much you failed, God loves you today. And he wants to have a relationship with you. A spiritual one. On his terms. The Bible says that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That the penalty of sin is death. But Jesus died for our sin and rose from the dead. If you would like to give your life to Jesus and establish a spiritual relationship with your Creator, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that I am a sinner and I know my sin is wrong. I believe Jesus loves me and that he died for me on the cross. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me of all my sin. And be my Savior. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are making a public confession of your relationship with God. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Jesus died in public. He was beaten in public. He was betrayed in public, spit on in public, crucified in public, He requires us to live for him in public. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your confession right now. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 God bless all of you. Stand to your feet, eyes closed, heads bowed. This is between you and God. God bless you.